In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. They're seated. Okay. Anybody familiar with growing wheat? In here, some. Okay. Okay, a few. All right. This is a different story than a normal parable, because it's another one where Jesus gives the explanation. And I feel it's another one that we read it and we think that doesn't make sense. Like, if you garden here, you know you don't let weeds grow up with the garden. Right? If you're growing tomatoes, you pull the weeds. If you're growing zucchini, you pull the weeds, right? That's what we all do. If you have a garden, you know you pull the weeds. So it seems like as we read this, what Jesus is saying is not a real effective way to go about gardening or to go about farming, to let the weeds just grow up until the end and then we'll take care of it. That's not how you do it. Doesn't make sense. But we need to have one little bit of information about this, that if we were real familiar with growing wheat, we would probably understand. And if we were living in Jesus' time and knew about growing wheat, we would definitely understand. And that's that there's a certain weed. Jesus makes a point talking about a wheat field. He doesn't just say any garden, a wheat field. And there's a certain weed specific to places that grow wheat that looks just like wheat. And it's got lots of scientific names, but its informal name is darnel, the darnel weed. And the darnel weed looks just like wheat. And actually, it's only until recently, modern times, that we've been able to sort the seeds in a certain way that's been able to keep the darnel from growing with the wheat. So maybe in the last 150, 200 years, we've been able to do that. So for most of human history, if we've grown wheat and bread, this is something that people have had to deal with on a regular basis. And the weed growing looks just like wheat. So the reason you don't pull it is because you're just not 100% sure what you're pulling up. And for someone who farming and growing wheat is your livelihood, are you willing to sacrifice 10% of, say, your salary because you want to pull up the weeds? Or can you wait? Now, there's another interesting thing about the darnel weed. You can't tell while it's growing. But at harvest time, it's obvious. Because the wheat gets nice and golden. And those of you who are familiar with it, you've seen that. If you've seen beer commercials and things like that, you've probably seen those wheat fields blowing nicely in the wind. And the darnel turns black. So at the harvest time, it's obvious, right? You see the wheat is golden, the weeds are black. Easy to tell what's what. But while they're growing, they look the same. So Jesus is using this story to teach the disciples and to tell everybody about the kingdom. Now, Jesus tells the masses, but then explains it to the disciples. And the way he explains it to the disciples, he does so big picture, answering one of the great questions: why is evil tolerated? Why is evil seem to be here? Why doesn't God just reach down and extract the evil from the world instead of us suffering? And the answer is that the good and the evil within us, within our communities, within our world, are so deeply intertwined that it's impossible to do that without damaging the good. That's what Jesus says. Don't pull up the weeds because we don't want to damage the wheat. The wheat's too important. So we don't want to damage the wheat. We might think about this really on a personal level within us. Right? If we have characteristics and traits, and sometimes they might be good, and sometimes they might have not so good elements, right? Pride can be a good thing. Pride can lead us to do well in our jobs, but pride can also lead us to do bad things too. So you might think about what would happen if God just reached down and took away all your pride. In your work, in your family, and how your house looked, and mowing your lawn, and all the bad pride too, at one time. So this is what Jesus is trying to explain. The good and the bad are so intricately intertwined, you can't pull up one without the other. But I think there's another part to the story that Jesus doesn't get into, but it's implied. For the disciples, for people listening, and it's about judgment. Now, there is, at the end of the story, Jesus says, a judgment to harvest. It will be obvious. The wheat and the weeds, be able to tell. No guessing, it's just plain. But until that time, we can't tell. So the implication is that it's really tricky for us when we start going in that position of judging wheat and weeds. I was going to say, everybody think about your social circle and put people in wheat or weeds. But the thing is, you probably could do it quickly. You probably could do it quickly without a lot of hemming and hawing. Because maybe there's a part of us that thinks like that. And what Jesus is saying is, one, trust in the harvest, trust in the judgment. God's not going to miss anything. It's going to be plain as day, right? Just like a wheat farmer in that time would know, this is wheat, it's gold, this is a wheat, it's black. Easy to tell. Not a lot of science in that. Easy to tell. Jesus is saying there will be a time, trust me, this good and evil cohabitating doesn't go on forever. There's going to be a time. It's going to be handled. But until then, you don't know. You don't know. So you should just defer judgment to me. I'll give you an example. My grandfather, my mother's father, if you would have met him, say when he was 40, you would have said, this guy is a weed. He's a weed. Doesn't want to be around his family. He was married. Wasn't a great husband at all. Had four kids. Wasn't a great dad. He was the guy that would spend the optional time at the office than going to see his kids do anything at school or anything like that. Didn't want to be around his family. Would have worked 100 hours a week to avoid him. Had they lived today, they would have been divorced, my grandparents. But they lived in a time when it's better to stay with your spouse and hate them than get divorced. And that was just what they did. That was the option they chose. So if you would have met him at 40, you would have said, wow, this guy's a lousy husband, a lousy father. Weed. If you would have met him at 50, same guy. If you would have met him at 60, same guy. And if you would have met him at 70, you would have said, hopeless. Hopeless, right? Who changes at 70? He is who he is. He is who he is. But I will tell you, he had a life-changing experience. He got very ill and almost died. He was in the hospital for several weeks. And when he came out, it was kind of like a Scrooge thing, right? You've all seen The Christmas Carol. It was like a Scrooge thing. I lived this with him. He came out and he was like, what have I done? I lived for the wrong stuff for 75 years. How do I even start to fix this? So he just decided he couldn't undo what he had done, but he was going to make faith a part of his life. So he began attending church weekly. He was going to pray and read the scriptures, and he was going to put people ahead of anything else. So the person I knew was an incredible grandpa. I would have said, oh, that guy is wheat. He's solid golden wheat, because that was the person I knew. But everyone that would have known him for those first 75 years would have said, hopeless, unchanging wheat. And if you would have cast judgment, if we would have written that person off at any time between 0 and 75, we probably would have been fairly right. But he lived to be 94. And those last 19 years of his life was incredibly generous and kind and giving and attentive and compassionate. A different guy. So much so that there was strife in the family because people that knew him earlier would get upset that people who knew him later liked him so much. They said, Dad, you should not like that guy. He's a weed. Sarah's shaking her head. She knows. We don't know. We don't know. So the parable Jesus says, trust the harvest. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be plain. God's going to handle it. But in the meantime, we don't know. You don't know. So it's best for us if we would not put people in those wheat and weed categories, because we just don't know. We just don't know. The story's not out. God is patient in the parable, right? Let everything grow, and we'll make sure we don't lose one piece of wheat. We're going to give every piece of wheat the fullest amount of time for the harvest. And I feel like he's the same way with us, right? We might get a judgment on someone at a point in their life and hold them to that forever because, right, we're right. Because we're right. But, you know, God gives so much room for people to grow and change, and even in their last days, even in their last years, even in their last chapters, gives them that time. So this parable that Jesus uses is pretty amazing if you think about how great of a teacher Jesus is. He's taking this farming thing that probably everyone's familiar with, and he's making this really profound statement about human history and judgment and the reckoning with wheat and weeds. And in doing so, is implying to us we don't know. In the meantime, we don't know. So I would encourage you with this story to take two things with you. One, trust the harvest. There is a reckoning. Good and evil don't get to cohabitate forever. God's going to deal with it. Trust the harvest. And in the meantime, refrain from judgment, because you just don't know who's wheat and who's weed. And I think our life would be better if we didn't have the stress of having to be the one to decide. I think it'd be more freeing if we could just trust that God knows, and we could just love in the process. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.